Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Peace be with you. These are the first words that Jesus says to the disciples on the day of his resurrection. This is their first sighting of him. And I would like to suggest that these are not words the disciples were expecting to hear. Peace be with you. Shalom be with you. God's peace be with you. Because we have to remember who the disciples are and where they are at this point in the story. It is Sunday, right? Easter Sunday. On Thursday, the disciples had scattered and abandoned their Lord and their friend and left him to face his fate alone. They have been hiding ever since. They were not there when he was crucified and died. And so you can imagine them sitting in this locked room all alone. They are feeling fear that they will face the same fate that Jesus faced if the religious and Roman authorities find them. They are feeling guilt that they were not there for their friend and their teacher in his time of need. And they are feeling a whole lot of shame right about now. And they've been locked in a room with nothing but each other, their fellow culprits, to look at for the past few days. So the idea first that Jesus would rise from the dead was quite unexpected, even though he had told them. But the second thought, that Jesus would come to them and say, "Peace be with you," that just must have been an astounding thought, because they know who they were. They knew their own value. They knew what they had done. Peace. Peace from the person that they abandoned. And it also doesn't make sense when you consider the idea that Jesus was God and is God incarnate. Jesus is God made flesh. So that means that on Good Friday, the world crucified God. So when you crucify God, do you expect God to get up and say, "Peace be with you"? I'd be expecting justice, vengeance, retribution. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." That's what I'd say if I'd had a three-day nap in the grave because people killed me, and I woke up and said, "Oh, that was a really rough weekend." But think about it, right? The idea that God, after being crucified, would get up and say, "Peace be with you," to people who had betrayed him, they must not have expected this at all. So it must have meant something pretty important to them. And they rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And how could you feel anything other than joy to see your friend alive again? And also that same friend, rather than accusing you of abandoning him, saying, "Peace be with you." And then an even more unbelievable thing happens. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." They must not have been feeling particularly worthy at that moment in time to have been sent anywhere, particularly by God. But Jesus says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I am fully cognizant of what you have done. I am fully cognizant of your cowardice. I am fully cognizant of the fact that you abandoned me. And still I choose you." Wow. That must have felt a little bit like what we call redemption, right? We've had those moments in our lives, I should hope, where we've known when we've done something wrong, and we have felt the power of someone's forgiveness and the power of someone still saying, "I choose you. I want you in my life." And that's what Jesus did for the disciples right here. So it's kind of understandable when we turn to Thomas, who was not there at that moment, why he is in such doubt about what has happened. First, that Jesus should rise again. When someone gets put down by the Romans, they stay down. And yet, Jesus did not stay down. And secondly, Thomas knew, like the other disciples, that he had abandoned Jesus. He was in fear and doubt and shame. So to hear that Jesus comes back and says, "Peace be with you, and by the way, I still choose you," that was way too much for Thomas to get, to believe in. And that's a lot to believe in, right? This peace of God, which conquers everything, This peace of God that turns bad into good, that turns evil into good, that turns death into life, and yes, turns sin into forgiveness. That's a lot to believe in. And yet, a week later, there are Thomas's, and there Jesus suddenly shows up and says, "Peace be with you," in case you missed it the first time, Thomas. And Jesus turns to him and recognizes his doubt and says, "You want to stick your hands in my wounds like you said you needed to?" And Thomas just says, "My Lord and my God." He finally gets who Jesus is. He finally sees the power of this peace, because he can feel that redemption himself at that moment in time, to see that God's peace does conquer evil, that good triumphs over evil with God, that life triumphs over death, and yes, forgiveness triumphs over sin, telling us that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter who you've abandoned, God is still with you. So yeah, Thomas dropped to his knees and said, "My Lord, my God," because he finally felt it. And then the next thing that Jesus says has important implications for the rest of us. "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." That's addressed to us. We are those who have not seen Jesus and have come to believe. And what does that belief mean? Do we believe in this peace of God which passes all understanding? Do we believe that through God's peace, life will triumph over death in the end? Do we believe that through God's peace, good will triumph over evil? And do we believe that through God's peace, that yes, forgiveness trumps even our own sins? Because if Jesus is saying, "Blessed are those who have not seen but believed," and is talking to us, and he is also saying, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send each one of you." And yes, even you, Father Brian. Jesus is saying directly to us that God's peace is alive and well in the world, and he wants you and me to be part of sharing it with the whole world, to be part of that mechanism by which life triumphs over death, to be part of that mechanism by which good triumphs over evil, and to be part of that mechanism by which sin is conquered through forgiveness. But like the disciples, do we have these thoughts that perhaps we are not worthy? Have we ever said or heard someone say, "Oh, I can't go to church today. Lightning would strike me. I can't go to church today. The building would burn down." Or have you been asked to do something and felt God calling you to do something, and you turned to God, like I have many times in my life, and said, "Lord, you must be mistaken. Me? Me of all people, I know who I am. I know what I have done. I know the wrongs I've committed. I know the people I've betrayed and hurt. Me?" Well, we're right there with the disciples. And Jesus is saying to us, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would have faith in that peace of God. Faith that good will triumph over evil, despite everything we see in the world around us. Faith that life will triumph over death, no matter the emptiness and sorrow we feel in our times of grieving. Faith that forgiveness will conquer sin, even our own sins. And I pray that we would hear God when he says, "I have chosen you to share my peace with the world." And that we would respond by saying, "My Lord and my God." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Peace be with you. These are the first words that Jesus says to his disciples when he has resurrected and come among them again. And I'd like to suggest that these are not the words that the disciples are expecting to hear. The disciples have had an emotional few days. It's now Sunday, but on Thursday night, they had abandoned their Lord, their teacher, their friend, in his time of need. And they'd been hiding ever since. They'd been hiding for fear that they would suffer the same fate that he suffered when he was crucified. And in that time, you can also imagine that they were also feeling quite a bit of guilt and shame for the fact that they had abandoned the one that they loved and professed to follow. So I'm expecting that when they get that news that Jesus is back, which they may or may not believe at that point in time, the last thing they are expecting to hear is "Peace be with you." They knew that they had abandoned him. They knew that they'd been hiding for days and they'd been had nothing but each other's company. They could look at each other as reminders of their own group sin and the fact that they had abandoned the one they loved and professed to follow. So it must have been quite the shock when Jesus, alive, right? Alive, when people are put down by the Romans, they don't get back up again, but Jesus got back up again. And the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." That must have felt like a lot. Particularly considering this also, right? We believe that Jesus is God made flesh, God incarnate, God walking among us. So on Good Friday, when Jesus was crucified, the world crucified God. Now when God gets back up again, are you expecting the words "peace be with you"? Are you expecting "vengeance is mine, saith the Lord"? Justice, vengeance, retribution. That's if I had been killed and spent 2 days, 3 days in the grave and rose again, I'm not going to say "peace be with you." And yet, this is what Jesus says when he comes in the midst of the disciples. And they rejoice at seeing him. They must have felt forgiveness. They must have felt like he still loves us despite our failure. And he takes it a step further. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." They must not have been feeling particularly worthy of that. They'd been hiding for days. They'd abandoned him when he needed them. They'd been living with their own guilt, fear, and shame for days now. And yet he still says to them, "I send you. I choose you." That must be what redemption feels like. To know that you have betrayed and abandoned someone. And not only do they forgive you, but that they still pick you, they still choose you, they still want you by their side. So now take a look at Thomas, right? Thomas isn't there when all of this happens. So of course this is too much to believe. It's too much to believe that one who was put down by the Romans got back up again. It's too much to believe that that person who he had abandoned is going to get back up and say, "Peace be with you." And further, too much to believe that he's going to say, "And I still choose you." So the disciples come to Thomas and say, "This is what happened." He says, "I'm not going to believe unless I stick my fingers in his wounds," which is a bit of a pretty graphic description, but this is all entirely too unbelievable for Thomas. And yet, a week later, they're all gathered again, and then Jesus appears, and his first words again are, "Peace be with you." How Thomas must have felt. And Jesus tells him, "Put your finger in my wounds, if it will convince you." And Thomas just says, "My Lord and my God," because he gets it. Because the thing to believe here, this peace that Jesus is talking about, this is the peace of God. And the peace of God is frankly unbelievable if you look at the world the way it is. The peace of God suggests that good triumphs over evil. The peace of God suggests that life triumphs over death. And the peace of God suggests that forgiveness triumphs over sin. And Thomas must have been feeling his sins at that point in time, but the moment he knew they were forgiven, he said, "My Lord and my God." This is what faith in the peace of God is. It's trusting that God will overcome everything against all odds, no matter how bad they might get. And then Jesus says something that we should take note of. He says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Who is he talking to now? He's talking to us. Which means that right now Jesus is coming in the midst of us and saying, "Peace be with you." Do we believe in that peace? And furthermore, Jesus is coming in the midst of us and saying, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you, and you, and you, and yes, even me." Is that believable? Think about it. Do you feel particularly chosen or called? Very few people ever do. I never did. I still don't. But this is what Jesus is saying to us. This is the unbelievable and wondrous thing, that no matter who we are, no matter what we have done, no matter who we have betrayed or hurt, no matter how many friends we have let down, that Jesus still turns to us and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Those are Jesus' words to us today. And we might be tempted to object. We might be tempted to say, "No, I'm definitely not worthy of that." We might be tempted to say, "No, I've done some things in my life that I regret." We might say, "I'm not terribly qualified for that, Lord." Well, look at the disciples. A bunch of fishermen hiding in a room after abandoning Jesus. And he still comes to them and says, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." My brothers and sisters, my prayer for us today is that we would have faith in that peace that Jesus offers us. That we would believe that no evil cannot be turned into good. That death can never not be overcome by life. And that sin is always overcome by God's forgiveness. I pray that we would recognize that even as we are offered the peace of God, we are also offered that chance to be that peace of God in the world. That when Jesus says, "As the Father sent me, so I send you," that we would recognize that we are being asked to partner with God in bringing God's peace to the world. That we would be instruments of God's peace. And finally, I pray that when we hear that invitation, we would answer as Thomas did and say, "My Lord and my God." In Jesus' name.